Brother Faye Jordan. He's an evangelist. And it's a night like this, sleepy, people tired. They sang and sang and sang, trying to get direction. Brother Faye stood in the pulpit and talked. Finally, he said, Brother Herbert, he said, I don't have a lot of liberty. I believe in the Lord's will for us all to go to Dairy Queen. Brother Herbert jumped up. He said, let's take up an offering for Dairy Queen. We raised $95 and the whole church went to Dairy Queen. Amen. Now, I don't eat this way anymore. This is why. I went down there and got me a double brownie sundae caramel peanut goo cup slop, whatever it was, at Dairy Queen. The next night, Destiny Henry got saved. Now, because we went to Dairy Queen? No, because the man of God, sensitive, new folks were tired, new folks were weary, new folks couldn't get anything out of it until they had some rest. So, Brother Vernon, we need to pray. We have a couple men pray for direction. We have a couple men pray for wisdom and for direction, what we need to do. Amen. I appreciate that, brother.
Father, thank you for allowing us to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, we thank you for the preaching that we've heard, the singing, dear God, to praise and glorify your holy name. God, we thank you for the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross and shedding his blood so we might have eternal redemption, we might have salvation, we might have forgiveness. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight, dear God, for your presence. We thank you for your power. God, how you manifested yourself in this place this week. God, I pray, Lord, you said if we ask for wisdom, that you'd give it liberally. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, you know exactly what we need. God, you know exactly what needs to be said. You know exactly what needs to be done. Dear God, you know exactly the hearts of men that are sitting in this building tonight. God, we need you more than anything in this life, dear God. We need you more than we need water to drink. God, we need you more than we need food in our belly. God, I believe that we need you more than we need sleep. God, we need you more than anything in this life, God. God, you said if we'd get hungry and thirsty after righteousness, that we would be satisfied tonight, dear God. Dear God, David said, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy glory, to see thy power, as we've seen it in the sanctuary. Dear God, in a dry and thirsty land, dear God, we need you tonight.
Right.
God, we need your presence and we need your power. God, we need your wisdom. God, we need your understanding. God, that we might be exactly where you want us to be. God, that what's said, dear God, would be pleasing to you, and that we wouldn't do anything to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God. God, help us tonight. Help us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother John. Father, I don't know exactly what it is that you want to do tonight. I know that there are people who do want to hear from God, yet they don't want to. They don't want anything false or strained or anything else. And I know that Brother Tim McVeigh does not want to stand up here for any other reason than to speak the mind of God to the people who need to hear. And so I pray that when we're done with this here, the man stands up, that he'll understand exactly what needs to come out of his mouth, exactly what you want said, and that you'll give us ears to hear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
About
shut up, Aaron. Get mad at you. Talk loud enough. It's very clear.
There's lots of people here tonight. And you know who you are. And you're afraid. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. It says this: and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Amen.
So those of y'all here who are lost and you feared, you're in bondage. Because of your fear. I spent 25 years running around telling people I was saved. And if I was honest about it, all that time I knew I was lost. And I was in bondage of the fear to tell the truth. Yeah? I have no idea why Brother McVeigh asked me to come up here and speak, but he's got some sensitivity. I told my daughter this just recently. When I read in the gospel where it says, and Jesus went about to preach, I just got this new Bible and it's a red letter, and the first thing he said was repent. The Bible says repent and believe. That's a command. I told Cherry, God will never give you a command that you cannot will to obey. Stop being afraid to believe what God commands you to do.
Yeah.
Stop expecting God to force you to do something that you're afraid to do.
That's right.
Be a man. Be strong. Yeah? In your ability to have confidence to believe what the Bible says. Be a woman. Huh? And have confidence in your ability to believe what the Bible says. Because that's a command. I don't know this book very good. I haven't got through it all yet as a saved person. But it comforts me.
Amen.
Does it comfort you, Johnny? It terrifies you, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It should. I'm going to give you a funny example now from a science fiction show I watch. Listen now. It's called Stargate. And on this show, You have to have a chromosome to use some technology. This is funny, but listen, this is good. I really think it is.
Come on.
And to use some of this ancient technology, you have to have a chromosome. And this fellow, he wanted it. So he got this injection to get this chromosome so he could use this little shield that he put on. You know what this shield did? It made him invulnerable to the wraith. Because he was terrified of these wraith. Yeah? And he would run around and he let somebody shoot him. They threw him off this balcony and he just bounced. He was invulnerable. And they had complete confidence in the invulnerability that this technology gave him. But when he went to eat something and to drink something, he couldn't eat and he couldn't drink. It's the shield you wear, Johnny. The shield you wear, Tim. You have this shield of invulnerability of your fear. And it keeps you from eating and drinking the Word of God. Huh? A little later on, what happened is this shadow comes and it scared this fellow with this shield more than what he thought he was scared of. And it was death. The shadow was good. It was a death shadow. And as soon as he realized that he had to come over here and confront this death shadow, boom, that thing fell right off him. Because he was more afraid of that than he was of the bad guys. You need to be more afraid of God than you are of hell.
That's right, yeah.
Because you think about hell in a physical way. Hell ain't a physical place. It's a real place. But you'll be a worm there. It's your soul. It's not your flesh that you're going to be worrying about here. Yeah? For a long time, I tried to pray, God save me from hell. I was afraid of hell. I didn't get saved. I got afraid of God, and God got a hold of me, and God saved me. It's easy to be afraid of hell. Because we hear this false gospel that starts out, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Do you want heaven? Do you want to escape hell? Or do you want an eternity with Jesus Christ? You're afraid. I'll read this again. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You can be delivered. It's God's will that you be delivered.
I try.
I'm going to go back to where he just said repent. He also said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance isn't, I'm a sinner. It's a humiliation. It's you agreeing with God what you really are.
That's right.
What do you do with your eyes? What do you do with your mind? What do you do with your hands? Where do you take your feet? Especially for you men, what do you do with your eyes and your mind? Huh? What are you really inside of you? Because that's what God wants to deal with. He wants to deal with who's inside of you.
That's right.
That worm that's inside of you. That worm that's going to live forever in that lake of fire. If you don't repent. If you don't let him deliver you from that bondage of fear, the end of that's death. But my Bible says in Revelation that God's going to cast death into the lake of fire. I've died. I've already died. My death. Christ died. I died. I'm not afraid of that. Miss Ruth Ann used to say, because Charity asked me, she goes, Dad, she said, Grandpa keeps pressuring me. Why don't you just believe? Because they went to a baby shower. Why don't you just believe? What is it that keeps you from this? And she said, I don't know the answer. What do I say, Dad? And she said, I don't know what to tell him. I really don't know what to say. Mr. Zan had it right. Huh? What she needs to say to him is, I want a faith not that I can live with, but a faith that I can die with.
Amen.
Hmm? You're living with a faith of fear right now if you're not saved. It's your faith. Now, Christ has a faith that's his faith. And it's his desire to let you have that. It's okay to have confidence in your ability to believe that you can do what Jesus Christ commands you to do.
Yeah.
Stop being afraid of that. God doesn't want to force anything on anybody.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be fair. It really wouldn't be fair. God forced you to believe. Excuse me. My mouth is dry.
Can't imagine.
Pardon me. Yes, God does not want to force you. All right? I think that some of you folks have this idea that if I just show up to church enough, one day God is just going to make me believe. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I got a name for that. It's called situational religion. You just show up long enough and God will change your situation. It's not going to work like that. You must make a decision, huh? You must decide, huh, to let God deliver you from your fear with a decision. Huh? Now, I can't find anywhere in this Bible where I see you're supposed to ask God to come in your heart and save you and do this. I can't find that. I haven't found that yet. But it does say believe. It does say repent. It does say this stupid prayer that almost sent me to hell. I hate that prayer. I hate the Romans road to heaven. That I do. Because it's sending people to hell. You guys know that. You know that. You know that. Because that's this pat little wimpy thing, huh, that lets you still be afraid and pretend that you're not. I'm afraid of certain things. Huh? You know what I'm afraid to do now? I'm afraid not to obey the Bible. Huh? I got a sore elbow. Some of y'all know the story. About making a deal with God. Huh? I'm afraid not to hear his voice and follow him. I'm afraid kind of stand up here right now and talk to y'all because I have absolutely no idea. McVeigh was asking me to come and speak. But fear is a real thing.
Right.
And like I say, with my small understanding of the Bible, that relation says the fearful and the whoremongers, right? So does that mean if you're fearful that you're just the same as a whoremonger? Might as well be. You're going to go in the same place.
That's right.
As a drunkard, if you're feared. As a drug addict, if you're feared. An adulterer. A murderer. A thief. Fear's there. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You're not afraid of me to beat you up. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of the Bible? That's what I want to know.
That's it.
Why are you afraid of the Bible?
That's it.
You grew up with it. I'm talking to Johnny. I'm talking to Timmy. And I'm talking to Peter. Why are you afraid of God's word? Do you know you're afraid of God's word? Maybe that's what you need to tell God. I'm afraid of believing your word. I don't have a lot more to say. I love you guys. You know I do. I'm part of your family now.
Amen.
We're blood now. Earthly blood. But there's this blood up there. Yeah? That blood up there. That's the family I want you to be part of. With me, my pastor. Me and my Jesus. Yeah?
Amen.
You know you're here because he draw you here. You had enough guts to come here. You got enough guts to sit there and lost. But you ain't got enough guts to believe the Bible. You ain't got enough guts to believe Christ. That makes you a wimp. It really does. I mean, I love you, but that's cowardly. If a fearful person is a cowardly person, why would you fear Christ? Why fear that man who, or why fear the God who became a man to become what you are? That's what Christ did for me. He showed me I'm evil. I am sin. And he became me. That's a very comforting thing right there. That's nothing to be afraid of. Are you afraid what Peter thinks about you? Are you afraid what Nick thinks about you? What about that little girl right there? Are you afraid what she thinks about you, Uncle Timmy? Blah, blah. Jesus loved you more than that little girl loved you. Jesus loved you more than mama loved you. Jesus loved you more than your daddy loved you. Jesus loved you more than that man there loved you. That man. More than me. More than your future wife. A woman foolish enough to marry a coward like you. I saved Tanya. I saved Michael. What are you afraid of? What about you? Are you saved? It's time to stop being afraid. It's time to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what I have to do.
Brother, can I read some?
Sure.
When we came back from Maine, Kyle, Tiffany, Beale followed us there. I got this text from Tiffany. Kyle has been doing a lot of Bible study lately, especially since we've been in Maine. It says, without any meetings today, he's only come out of the extra bedroom to go to the bathroom and bring out his dishes. He's written pages of notes and used all up the tissues and half a roll of toilet paper. Could you please say a prayer for him that he could find salvation? Came back from that meeting and he couldn't even come out. He just went to the extra bedroom and he wouldn't come out. He got saved.
That's right.
About 2 days later. Those of you who know Kyle Beale, you know he got in. He got in.
Amen.
Just came to that point that he got that narrow way and he couldn't get out.
Aye.
Couldn't get out. That Miss Chelsea, she got to the point she couldn't think of anything else. Nothing. Mm-hmm. All she could think of.
That's right.
Finally made the mistake of telling Pastor Hain, I think it'll take me years. He leaned across the pew and he just preached in her face. He just needed to believe. She come out of there saved and born again.
Hey,
I like it.
Amen. I like it.
I'm going to read one Bible story.
Judges 9. I'm just going to read a Bible story. him in the right place, makes him in the right place. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. I want to talk, just read this story, share this out of Judges 9. But I want to look at Abimelech in verse 46. Because the Lord showed me when Brother Ronnie was talking. When all the men of the Tower of Shechem heard that, what did they hear? There was destruction. The city was torn down. Abimelech's on the warpath. They feared. They trembled. They were scared. They heard that. They entered into an hold of the house of the god Beareth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. Now I want you to notice this. They were the men of the Tower of Shechem, a stronghold, a place of safety, a place where they're together in strength. They were the men of the Tower of Shechem. But when they got fearful, where'd they go? Verse 46 said, into an hold of the house of the god Beareth. They ran to their god. They ran to their god. They left a stronghold seeking a false god. And the Bible says that Abimelech got him up to Mount Salmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said to the people that were with him, what you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire upon them. So that all the men of the Tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. What he said, fear drove them. Fear controlled them. Fear had them leave a strong tower and go to the house of their god, and they still burned because of that fear. Then went Abimelech to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it. And again, I don't know all these fancy terms. I'm not smart like Brother Williams, not smart like my pastor. But, amen and amen.
Amen.
To me, I thought he said cognitive dysfunction. I don't know what he meant. But, there was a strong tower within the city. Abimelech finds one, they've gone to the house of their god, driven by fear. So again, Abimelech moves against a strong tower. But this is what the Bible said. Thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city and shut it to them and got them up to the top of the tower. It wasn't fear that drove them. It was the hope that their strong tower would protect them. Fear drove them to a false god. Fear drove them to the house of their god. Hope took them to the strong tower. Hope took them to a place of strength. Hope took them to a place of confidence. And Abimelech came under the tower and fought against it and went hard under the door of the tower to burn it with fire. He said, I've done this before.
Right.
And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. What confidence. What strength. What a lady. I said, what a lady. She took a piece of a millstone. I wouldn't
even guess the weight. It could be 5 pounds from the height of a tower. It would break your skull.
But she cast it down. There was force involved. She was trying to bust his head.
Hey.
Why? She had confidence. She had strength. She's not in the house of her God. She's in a strong tower. Then he called hastily unto the young man and his armor bearer and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through and he died. What a fool.
Right.
You know what I'm going to say of him? Abimelech, a woman slew you.
Right.
Amen. A woman took a millstone and cracked your skull, Buster.
Right. And
he's dead in hell. Well over 1,000 died in the fire. The people of the shot tower of Thebes escaped the enemy. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. Proverbs chapter 18. And verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. When that fear comes, where do you run? When that fear comes, where do you go? Do you go back to your gods? Or do you go to that tower? Looking down at the enemy. Singing it as well with my soul.
Amen.
I'm safe. There's no fear.
In the strong tower, there's joy, there's peace, there's happiness. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's God's tower. Tale of two contrasts. The men of a strong tower flee to the house of their God and then ask their God to protect them when fear comes. The men of Thebes went to the strong tower. And when fear came, their enemy died. When fear arose, the enemy perished. The problem we face is that most people don't run to the strong tower, they run to their gods. They run to what makes them happy. They run to short-term pleasure. Seasonal sin.
Right.
Short term. They run to the liquor bottle, which does not satisfy. But the Ronnie and I were joking earlier. I'd given him a used shirt, and in all seriousness, I said that's an $88 shirt on the Brooks Brothers website. And he said, $88 for a shirt? He said, I forget what it, but he said, drugs are cheaper than that. I said, the price, yeah, but this shirt will last you.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
The drugs don't last.
Amen.
The liquor bottle doesn't last.
That's right.
Lust doesn't last.
Right.
Fulfilling the lust of the flesh do not last. It's short term. They ran to safety in the house of their God.
And their God and his house and all of them burned up with it. But the Lord is that strong tower and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Safety is of the Lord. Brother Vernon, just a couple comments. I'm done.
It's good. Now don't you stop. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. I'm not going to rattle on. I'll let you go. God's got a plan. And he's got an absolute perfect will. I don't believe in all the other wills. I believe in the Romans chapter 12 will of God. It's perfect and it's holy and it's acceptable. That's the will of God I believe in. The perfect will of God. Do you know what the perfect will of God would be if God could do what God wanted to do? Do you know what it would be? Listen, everybody in this building, every single person in this building would have joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory. Everybody. If God's perfect will was accomplished, everybody in this place would be enjoying the overflow life. Everybody in this place would have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody. Because it's the perfect will of God for everybody to be saved. It's His will. That none should perish. The law would come to repentance. Amen. He wants to save everybody. And if He had His perfect will, everybody in here would have come in the house of God tonight refreshed in the Holy Ghost. I will guarantee you, there ain't a person in this building, times two, that's went at it any harder than me today. Amen. And I feel good. I feel good.
That's right.
Amen. The devil is wearing us out. And what he don't get, we give to the flesh. Wearing our backsides out. Amen. Go to church and we're too God blessed sorry to get anything from God.
Amen.
I said that as spiritual as I could say it because I'm in church. I like what Ronnie said. Amen. I like it. I like that. I like it. I don't like that damnable prayer business. I'm a praying man. I believe in praying. Can't pray too much. Amen. Some of this little repeat after me. Meet me after church. I'll tell you what I think about it. Stuff. That's why I said a while ago what I said. I didn't know about no blind man sitting by the wayside. I didn't know about all that. I've been in church all my life. I didn't pay attention to none of that. I couldn't have quoted none of that. Still can't even get it halfway straight. But you know what? I prayed, Brother Ron Williams, 1,000 times, Lord, would you come into my heart and save me? And he never did. Sure. But for some reason, Brother John, that night, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about prayer.
That's
even think about that.
Yeah.
God brought me to the end of myself, son, and he exposed me to me.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I wasn't worried about all that other stuff. All I was concerned, God have mercy on me.
Hey,
have mercy on me.
God,
I'm a wretch. I'm vile. I'm wicked. I'm nasty. I'm sorry they come. Have mercy on me. And here's what I promised God that night. Lord, I'll take my hands off my life. I'm done. I've messed it up as much as I can mess it up. Lord, I'll take my hands off if you'll put your hands on and you can have it. Boy, out there in them woods that night, he put his hands in my life. Thank God for it.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good.
Never been the same since.
That's right.
I was in my 20s. Promising career, pocket full of money. Had no worries. I had money to blow. And I said, I'm going to go with Jesus.
Amen. Good.
They said, you've lost it, boy.
Hallelujah.
What are you doing? You're going to Florida. You ain't got no job. I got me a Jesus, though. Mm-hmm. Amen. I left a real good paying job, real good security. My wife, she was just nestling in so good. We went down there and got us a cheap rent house for $600. I said, we got us a cheap rent house for $600 a month and got me a $5 an hour job. $200 a week. I don't give a flip what kind of math Eric does. It ain't worth a hoot. Because you take $200 a week and let Uncle Sam take the money out of it, and then you start trying to, it takes over 3 paychecks to pay your rent. Amen. And then you got to buy groceries, and then you got to try to feed your wife, and then you got to pay a power bill. Man, we had an air conditioner, Brother John, in our bedroom. We never left the bedroom. We was in our 20s. That was high. It's been well worth it.
Amen.
$5 an hour. My wife called me up one day. She said, I need a washing machine. My washing machine broke. Well, I was too stupid to figure that the repairman could have come. I just had enough money in my pocket. I said, we'll go buy a new one. And I figured since we bought her a new washer and dryer, I deserved a new gun. So I took some more money, went down to the store, bought me a gun. I got saved, and I started going to the dented stores. Buying them dented cans. Buying them stale ramen noodles that was out of date.
That's right.
And I had me a time in Jesus, hey, buddy. I have had me a time. I wouldn't take a filet mignon. And hey, looking back, I wouldn't have traded it for all the filets in the world.
That's right.
You know why? I'm getting to eat all the filets I want today. I eat a filet mignon about once every week now. Isn't that wonderful? And they're so tender, they just about melt in your mouth. Ain't God good to us? Ain't God good? I didn't lose a thing when I went with Jesus. He said, man, you crazy. Say, wasn't you fearful? I didn't have enough sense to be fearful. I wasn't smart enough to be fearful. You know why? Because I believe God can take care of me.
That's right. Hey!
He done washed away my sins, amen. He passed me from death unto life. I wasn't smart enough to be fearful, man. I just had enough dumb about me to trust God.
Hey.
I had enough dumb about me to trust God, amen.
Hallelujah.
Man.
Amen.
God had his perfect way, everybody in this place tonight would be saved.
That's right.
Full of joy.
Yeah.
Full of joy, amen.
Exactly. Amen. Lord, yeah.
I wasn't worried about what everybody else was doing. I wasn't worried about nobody else. When I got saved, I wasn't worried about nobody. I wasn't worried about the preachers that said, you shouldn't sing that, pass me not, because they were singing it that night and it tore me out of my frame. I wasn't worried about that, friend. Oh, no. I was worried about my stance with Jesus Christ. Amen. What a filthy, vile sinner. I'll be honest with you, hell was about 40% of it. Hell was in the mix.
Right.
Sammy Allen preached enough to me, friend. I didn't want to die and go to hell. You better believe that. He preached hell into me so strong, I got saved a few times because of it. Walk out of there and go smoke a joint big enough to float this building. That's right, son.
That's right.
We can float the Titanic with that. Never had no peace. Never had no joy. Always empty. Miserable as a junkyard dog, faking a smile. I don't even like faking smiles for your little cameras today. Amen. That's right. I can't stand all these. Miserable as hell.
Yeah.
Posing for they get meaner than a junkyard.
That's right, preacher. That's exactly.
Yeah, get as hell. These people sitting in here loves that stupid junk, and you've been so disconnected with this meeting, it's sickening.
That's right.
God ought to kill you and put you into hell. I wish he'd cut a couple of your arms and legs off. Amen. You said, preacher said, I'd rather you go to hell as a nub than to go to hell with your sorry arms and legs. Amen. You said, preacher said, I say that about my own kids.
That's right.
I'd rather see my own kids go to hell with eyeballs in their head than to go to hell with 20/20 vision. That's how serious it is.
That's right. Yeah.
Disconnected from the church. Disconnected. Disconnected
right.
from the man.
That's right.
Connected. Got the conduit to the world. Got the conduit to this world's attractions. Got the conduit to the entertainment of society. We can get hooked up with this world. We can get hooked up with society. We can get hooked up with social media. Can't get hooked up in the house of God.
That's right.
Can't get hooked up. Right. Say, preacher, y'all preach, everybody's lost. No, I ain't trying to tell you nobody's lost. The Word of God exposed you so fast it'll make your head swing on. There's some things that'll take place in a human being when they get born again. You don't have to try to get me to judge. Word of God's done judged all that stuff. You can't tell some people some things. Well, the first thing is simple, the grace of God that brings salvation. He teaches us.
That's right.
Teaches us. You can't teach some people some things. Well, I'm saying, you told God that he was wrong then. These people in this church every week, you can't tell them a cotton-picking thing, Brother McVeigh. They know everything. They're dead wrong, and they know it all.
That's right.
And going to die and go to hell with that. And it ain't going to do them a bit of good in hell to know any of it. Won't do them a bit of good to have all the knowledge, all the achievements, all the attainments in this world, and die go to hell. It won't do us one bit of good. I told them the other Sunday, I said, if it's so good, if the accolades is so good, if the gold medals is so good, if the popularity is so good, if the money is so good, somebody explain to me how in the name of God Bruce Jenner's a woman today.
That's right.
Nobody ever had it so good as him.
That's right.
Nobody ever had it so good as him. Nobody's got the accolades. Nobody racked up the gold. Nobody took in the money. It day.
That's right.
Psychologists. They got all the papers in the world. Crazy, friend, they're crazy. Brother Ron Williams probably could have said that very nicely. If Jesus Christ had his way with you, if Jesus Christ had his way with you personally, you'd be full of God tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Clicking them heels, son. Amen. That flesh will wear you out. That flesh will wear you out. That flesh is despicable. That flesh is nasty. That flesh loves alcohol. Flesh loves sex outside of marriage. Hell, its flesh loves nakedness. Loves going down there to the beach. That old flesh loves going to the beach. The flesh loves taking the clothes off. The flesh loves attracting attention with its old nasty, filthy, rotten flesh. It loves attracting your attention. And it's nasty. These preachers talking about them maggots. There ain't nothing they ain't a raven in this world any nastier and filthy than our rotten flesh.
That's right.
Flesh is filthy.
That's right.
Wake you up, bless God, in the nastiest mess holes you ever dreamed of. Put you in a prison cell. Yes. Let you wake up with a sodomite. I'm telling you, it's nasty. And I tell you, the next morning when you wake up, it's still not satisfied. You gave it everything you wanted. It accomplished everything that it set out. And it wakes up the next morning and it wants more. Gotta go deeper. Gotta get nastier. Gotta stoop some more. Flesh. And it's going to help us get to hell. How nasty.
That's right.
Brother Sandy said, what's the flesh got to offer you?
Amen.
Worth dying and going to hell for. Mm-hmm. What's that flesh got to offer you? Amen. Worth dying and going to hell for.
Some of you sitting in here saying amen. Shut up. You're saying it in a C chord, and God's trying to hit the G chord. You don't no more know the amen. You don't even know the amen. You're saying amen. And that's the foreign title of Jesus Christ. And if it's a foreign title, if the person of Jesus ain't living on the inside, then he's not going to get up in you and come out your mouth. It's best to study to be quiet. Just be still and let God do something in you. And then the amen can get up and your mouth will fly open. And the amen will say, that's me. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. And the G chord will hit the G chord. Man, Ryan, I like shouting. Man, I like for it to be on note. I like to hit the right chord. If you don't know him, shut up first and get to know him. Get to know him. Let the amen move on the inside. And you don't have to say amen. You'll get to can't help it. Man. Yeah, he'll get to do it. Jumping jacks, cartwheels, running in place. Man, he'll run some laps. He'll kick your mouth open, and he'll just fly out before you even know what happened. That's right. I get to can't help it. I hear y'all sing that song, Haven of Rest, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah. He's a person too, by the way.
That's right.
Yes. He's a person. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to do anything to grieve him. Oh, I have and I do. But that ain't my goal. I don't want to do that. Miss Amber, you know you can get up and you can go to the bathroom and he grieve the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Get a little older, you might already carry a teapot with you. Just sit you behind still for a minute. Amen. You got, well, you are all worried about offended people. The hell with offended people. Worry about the Holy Ghost. Worry about the Holy Ghost. What about the move of God? What about a sinner hanging in the balances? But you got a PS. Say amen right there, somebody.
Amen.
Your little kidneys can't handle.
That's right.
So you gotta help distract folks and let them go on to hell.
That's right. That's good.
You don't care if they go to hell. These preachers talked tonight and I kept hearing burdens. We got no burden. Got no burden. We don't care if people die and go to hell in America no more. We care that they see us living this little facade lifestyle on Facebook. But we couldn't care less if everybody that sees it dies and goes to hell. Where's that rag? Praise God. He'll give me a little action. Mm-hmm. 54 years old. I ain't seen y'all in one time tonight. I'm 54, not him. He's 154. I looked at my man Michael back here. He got up this morning, lied to his boss, I'm just making it up. Told his boss some things, come to the house of God. I don't know what he did the rest of the day, but I know what I did. I went to work. I went to work in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And I was able to come back to church tonight without falling asleep.
Amen.
Amen.
It didn't wear on me tonight. It wear on me. Preacher, you're cocky. You saw what's one of these, a fine line between cocky and confident. Fine line. I'm very confident. Well, I know who I believe and am persuaded. Amen. I'm very confident about it.
Amen.
I think I'm the opposite of cocky. I know people get tired. I understand that.
I'm just telling you, I'm 54. I've been out there in the heat today, in the sunshine, sweating, losing that energy, frustrated psychologically and mentally and all that. Come to the house of God, chomping at the bits to get something from God. I ain't wore out. Oh, no.
That's right.
I ain't wore out.
Amen.
So, preacher, why are you saying this? Because I'm pastor here, and this is our meeting, and I want to see Black Creek get some help, but my main focus is Living Water Baptist Church. When I look around Living Water Baptist Church, and I see people out of touch and out of tune and just hard and wore out, kind of exhausted, it kind of aggravates the pastor. Because I know they ain't been through what their pastor's been. I got 8 youngins, bless God, go have a few more.
That's right.
Let them youngins be the excuse for going to hell. If that was my crutch, I'd be careful about it. God might help eliminate some.
Uh-oh.
I fear these things, brother and brother. That's why they come out of my mouth.
I
fear these things, but I fear this stuff. What's it going to take for people to connect? What's it going to take for people to go, this is for real. I better get in this thing. I better get serious. What's it going to take? It ain't hit our home, so it's not real.
That's right.
But it can hit our home, just like it's hit 10 million other homes. It's just the mercy of God that's just spared you. It's that ark being stayed open for another 7 days. God extending a little more mercy to you.
That's right.
We said it the other day, one of these days that door's going to be shut. One of these days that mercy ain't going to be there.
Yeah.
It's not going to be there. I don't see you come up in here tired. We've labored, we've worked, y'all still working, doing everything. For God's sakes, man, don't let your flesh wear you out. First and foremost, you're to think about the house of God and what can I do with Jesus today?
That's right.
First and foremost, man, he ought to be the top priority. I better not do that. I'll be too out for church tonight. Probably help you if you did get out there in the sun and sweat by swinging a pick a little bit. Might help you.
Amen.
Sure it might help you. Get you a shovel, say, well, I don't need no ditch, it doesn't matter. You need to dig one. Get some of that poison out of your system. Mike can come to the house of God and lick your chops a little bit. Man, I don't see this meeting come and go. We put too much in this to see you just end up the same way this thing started.
That's right.
Way too much put in to see you end up in the same mess that you was when we started this thing.
That's right.
Preacher, you show yourself. That's what your children say when you take them back there in the back bedroom. That's what they're saying about you over in the living room. That jerk. I wish he'd die. Can I get a witness right there? You know how many times my youngest prayed God, Lord, they let me die before I got in that bedroom? You say, I wouldn't do that because you never got whipped by me. You let me get a belt and come out to your backside. You'll be praying something like that. Hey, man, that's exactly right. We meant business, friend. I didn't beat them youngins till they cried. I beat them till they couldn't cry. I didn't beat them till they got mad. I beat them till they got over their anger and broke.
That's right.
I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you the way God let me do it. I got one sitting in the house of God tonight. One of them is. And if they all died and went to hell, I still wouldn't change the way God let me raise them. Discipline them.
Right.
I wouldn't have changed that for nothing. Richard, that's abuse. Go ahead. You raise your rebels, I raise mine. I beat them till they couldn't kick, till they couldn't fuss. And when I brought them back in the house of God, everybody knew it. And they didn't come back in the house of God dancing. Pretty good, ain't it? She was lost and didn't like it. I broke about 14 bones in my marriage life.
Because I was with my youngest, my wife wanted to call 911. I don't blame her, but she called 911. I'd break the phone on the piece and say, now call 911. You do it the way you want to do it. That's the way I did it. Now call 911. You ain't got no phone, them damnable phones. Trying to raise children the way God wants you to raise children. Don't look at her funny. She was lost. That's what lost people do. They act a bunch of fools. That's what lost people do. Lost people supposed to call like that. But a child of God say, thank you.
Amen.
I tried to do all the whipping, Brother John. I didn't figure it was my wife's place to be beating on my boys. I didn't want a woman beating on my boys like that. I just thought, man, it'd be best if I do the beating. Now, there was times where the boys was at home and they got on their nerves. And I said, honey, pick up a brick and throw it at them. Bust their head. Do something. Get the broom at them and crack them across the skull. Do something. You can get them, babe. When it comes to that discipline, son, I wanted to tell Daddy. Brother Williams, I hate to even talk about this stuff in front of you because you probably go, what a fool that man's been. But listen, brother, sometimes the last thing I want to do is get out of my car after 10, 12 hours of work and go to beating on youngins. Baby, I give you a minute. I just got out of the car. Can I just love on them a minute? Can I at least see them a minute? I mean, son, I got out of the car just ready to kill them. But honey, can I at least see them?
Well, that's right, brother.
Just thought it was good for a man to instill that discipline in their life. Boy, I figured if I did it just right, they would obey Mama a little better when Daddy was gone. They know Mama was going to tell Daddy. I've never had my kids to be ugly to my wife. I've never had my children to be ugly to my mama.
That's right.
Never. If my kids was 30 years old and they disrespected my wife and my mother, I think I'd still pick up something and crack that skull. You say, why do you talk like that, Rich? Because I ain't big and bad enough to whoop their hind end just outright like a man. I had to give me an equalizer. I'm not a fair fighter. You kidding me? I've been a squirt all my life. I can't fight fair. Got to fight dirty. I love you, church. God knows I love you, man. And I want to see you get something from God so bad. I sure do. I want to see you get something from God. And I know if it was God's perfect will, you'd be saved and full of God. Just would. That's his will. Other than that, I'm going to say this. I guess it's about half foolish, but two scoops of briars sounds real good to me. That's ice cream, ladies and gentlemen. Briar's ice cream. I know I don't say it like the sissy folks do. You know, they say shower and flower and, you know, stuff like that. And I say flyer and shire and briar. So why would you say that? Because Kimberly makes fun of the way I talk. That's all. She makes fun of the way I talk.
Good.
Man, I love you. Let God have his perfect will. Just let God.
Amen.
No, that's all. That's it. Thank you, Brother Rodney, for being Johnny on the spot. It's called popcorn preaching, buddy. Better be ready. And listen, folks, don't let the devil wear you out. Don't let your flesh wear you out. Get in there for Jesus. Say, man, I tell you the most important thing. I got to get something from the Lord. Done. I'm done. I don't want to rattle. I love you. Have you a good night's sleep. If you don't like your briar's ice cream, bring it to me. I'll eat it. You good? Everybody good? Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I leave this place tonight feeling like an old egg-sucking dog trying to be obedient to you. Lord, just like a daddy when he goes to his children, dear Lord, and does instill that discipline, that chastening, dear God, how he walks away with a broken heart.
Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, it not be in vain. Lord, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, you touch some hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you touch somebody and make a difference in their life. I love these people, dear God, and I just want to see them know the Lord Jesus so bad. So bad sometimes, God, that it makes me angry. God, you said it's all right as long as I didn't sin. And I pray, God, that you'd help me not to sin. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
How are you going to label that one?